he really took his love for his wife and his daughter and put that into playing with his teammates and on the ice as well. So it's going to be a big loss for the Avalanche, but I think with this new confidence that he's found, it will greatly benefit the Calgary Flames.
Welcome back. It's a big show in the morning, just after 8 o'clock. If you're listening live or maybe you're on demand, then it's the podcast, Google, Spotify, Amazon, or Apple. And we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to chat with the man whose voice you just heard called the Stanley Cup victory for the Colorado Avalanche. He is Connor McGehee, the play-by-play voice for both Altitude TV and radio. Hello, Connor. How was the offseason, man? Called a Stanley Cup victory? Was it free drinks and no lines all summer in Denver or what?
Well, and good morning, fellas. As you may have heard Eric Johnson say the day after we got back from Tampa, Denver ran out of booze. So I think we might have to put a rain check on those drinks. But no, it's always good to have a short off season, but only when you win, right? Because Tampa had the same length of off season and they didn't. And that you could be so close and not do it, but the Avs were able to find a way. And now I know why players have a hard time finding the words when they win, because there really aren't any, because the pressure's been on them since they were 10 years old. And to see that pressure come off immediately is something very special. And so really happy for all of them that they've enjoyed the past 3 months. And here we are. We're back at camp and ready to go as the preseason starts up on Sunday, if you can believe it.
It's wild. Back to work, right? And I know for you, you're at the Avalanche Golf Tournament today. The Flames held theirs last Wednesday, and one of the individuals we got to chat with on the morning show was Nazem Kadri, who would have been at the event you're currently at last year. And I just wanted to start here as one of the new Calgary Flames. Well documented his return to the Stanley Cup final after he was hurt in the conference finals. He was a pivotal part of a team. Just a thought on what Flames fans are getting here and what he did mean to the Avalanche's cup-winning roster.
He had obviously the best year of his career, and he had some of the best parts of the Avalanche story during the season and the playoffs. From the St. Louis hatred to scoring a hat trick after the extra security and police had to be added to the hotel in St. Louis, with that to scoring the overtime winner in Game 4 to put the Avalanche up 3-1. Over the Tampa Bay Lightning, just those moments on the ice. But I think overall, and this goes for all of us, it's hard to change how we do things sometimes. And Naz Kadri was able to change how he did things, and for the better too. And to me, that's incredibly impressive. And so you're getting somebody who wanted something so bad that he needed to change things, and he did. And the competitor part has always been there, but how you compete is a different thing. And Kadri was able to find a way, and which is funny I say that, because that was the Avalanche theme really for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But he was able to find a way to be the best part of himself. And I think that is quite the compliment for anybody, especially somebody under the microscope as much as Naz Kadri was. So he was able to find really the second half of his game. I think last year he really turned into a great two-way forward, and that's what made him a better offensive player. And I think him being a really good family man, a really good father, has contributed to that. He really took his love for his wife and his daughter and put that into playing with his teammates and on the ice as well. So it's going to be a big loss for the Avalanche, but I think with this new confidence that he's found, it will greatly benefit the Calgary Flames.
Now, obviously, Kadri was one of the players that kind of priced himself out of an opportunity to stay with the Colorado Avalanche, and they re-signed a lot of players. Val Nichushkin, Josh Manson, Arturi Lehkonen, Cogliano, Helm, McDonald, all guys that have a ring and are coming back. The team had to make some choices, and Kadri and Kemper were a couple of guys that did sign elsewhere. What did you make of those tough decisions and the outcomes for Joe Sakic with the roster that they now have?
I think that the philosophy for Joe Sakic and newly appointed general manager Chris McFarland And I put both of those guys in the same sentence on purpose because they've really been a team, you know, for almost a decade now in the Avs front office, basically going from worst to first in the National Hockey League. But I think one of their key pillars in their philosophy is about term and which type of players can get the term. I think Landeskog is a no-brainer because he, at the time, was the youngest captain in NHL history. He is your leader. He is the face of the franchise. He gets 8 years when it was time for him. Mikko Rantanen gets a long-term deal. Cale Makar gets a long-term deal. And Valanciunas really has turned into the top 10 overall pick that he was supposed to be with the Dallas Stars. And I think the way that he has played ever since the Avalanche took a flyer on him for $850,000, earned him his 8-year extension as well with Colorado. And he should win multiple Selke trophies, in my opinion, just the way that he's been able to play over the past couple of seasons. Arturi Lehkonen is in the same boat, but I don't think they mind amounts so much, but I think when you have amount plus term, that's where you have to come down to tough decisions. So there's no way that the Avalanche can pay Nazem Kadri 7x7, excuse me, especially with Nathan McKinnon's extension coming up. And that's the thing that everything is hinged upon is how much is Nathan McKinnon going to make, and that makes any other transaction a little bit more difficult. I think that Darcy Kemper making 5.5 for 5 years is good for him. He won a Stanley Cup, but the Avalanche now, with both of their goaltenders, Georgiev and Pavel Francouz, are paying the exact same for two goaltenders that Darcy Kemper is making 1 year for 5 years, if that makes sense. And then Burakovsky, same thing. Seattle has the money to throw at him for $5.5 million for 5 years. And again, you have a lot of money and a lot of term. And I think that if it were a shorter term, 1 or 2 years, the Avalanche could make that happen. But I just think that philosophically, the shorter term has always benefited the Avs in the past, and they continue to do that. And look, they're not easy decisions to make, but you have to make them. But with the players that you've kept, it's still one of – actually, it's probably the best core in the National Hockey League, which is why they're favorites again coming into this season.
I don't know many people would have a big argument with you there, Connor. Connor McGahey joining us on the big show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Matt Rose. He's Patty Dumas.
You mentioned Alexander Georgiev coming over from the New York Rangers in exchange for 2/3 and a fifth. How do you like the fit with him and Francouz going into the season?
I do like it. And again, Joe Sakic, Chris McFarland, very proactive because the trade was made before free agency started. Mm-hmm. And I think that was on purpose, right? Sakic loves and has loved in the past, and Chris McFarland is the same way, to get out in front. And the only time they really didn't do that was when they were sort of surprised last year with Philip Grubauer when he signed as a free agent for 6 years with Seattle.
Yeah.
And they had to sort of play catch-up, play a first-rounder and more to Arizona for Darcy Kemper. So this time they wanted to get out in front. They knew that Kemper was leaving. And every goaltending guy that I've talked to says that systematically Georgiev will fit in with the Avalanche perfectly. I mean, he was supposed to be number one, right? He's supposed mm-hmm. to be the replacement for Henrik Lundqvist exactly. for the New York Rangers. And then all of a sudden they strike gold and finding Igor Shesterkin, who's going to win multiple Vezinas if everything pans out like it should. So I think in my eyes and in the eyes of Sakic and McFarland, that Georgiev is 100% a number one goaltender in the National Hockey League. And let us not forget that Pavel Francouz just wanted to stay here. He signed another 2-year extension, but he didn't demand a raise, making the exact same amount at $2 million per year just to stay around. And there is no better teammate than Pavel Francouz. And he came in prepared, without any warning, played great, single-handedly beat the Edmonton Oilers at times. You know, it's a sweep there in the Western Conference Finals. So I think when it comes to 1 and 1A, there's no problems whatsoever with the Avalanche goaltending situation. I think you're very pleased in that regard.
Now, the other new player coming from elsewhere was Evan Rodriguez. I know he was a name getting talked about a lot around here. as a possible signing. It's a 1-year deal, $2 million, not low risk, you know, high reward possibly. This guy up and down the lineup in Pittsburgh. Now, how do you think his role will fit, especially with the departure of Kadri?
And that's the thing too, because there's not going to be a one for one replacement for Nazem Kadri.
Exactly.
I mean, you just can't slide anybody in there to get 87 points. So I think the committee approach is more like it for the Avalanche this season. But when you have a player like Evan Rodriguez, who helped find his game by way of playing with Sidney Crosby on the line, and is a natural center too, and they're not just growing on bushes around here. I think it's a great deal for the Avalanche because he has a career year himself, and you're expecting guys like Alex Newhook, JT Compher, Ben Myers, who is the collegiate free agent that they signed after the trade deadline had passed from the University of Minnesota. I think by committee, you're going to be able to find those 150, 155-ish points that you lost with Nazem Kadri and Andrei Burakovsky. But I think Rodriguez is a great skater. The identity of this team has been speed, really, since the first rebuild with Matt Duchene and Ryan O'Reilly. And I think that, combined with his smarts, makes him a great utility player, a lot like Arturi Lehkonen, for the Avalanche to slide in wherever they need. And that versatility, I think, is a great asset.
Now, you mentioned Nate MacKinnon earlier on. Now, he's going to be getting a new deal here in the not-too-distant future. Should he become the next highest-paid player in the NHL?
I mean, it goes in cycles, right? Because you have Connor McDavid, who earned that moniker, and now Nathan MacKinnon has done something that Connor McDavid has, and that's won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
So does that mean that you deserve, with not outrageous numbers, but, I mean, you should have won a Hart Trophy a couple seasons ago. I mean, you're one of the faces of the NHL Mount Rushmore now. And I think that because of the way that you play, how you play, the way that you contribute, and now what you've done to win, that should earn you, even if it's by a nickel, to be the highest paid player in the National Hockey League. It would not surprise me if they were able to get that done. The two sides have not been far apart for a long time. There's sort of been an understanding, it sounds like, as to where that's going to be at. But if it's just shy, just with MacKinnon knowing that, you know, he can't take all the bread out of the kitchen in order to make this thing work again, that wouldn't surprise me either, because again, his friend Sidney Crosby, that's what he did as well. So either outcome would not surprise me one bit.
Also, on just some intrigue around Alex Newhook and Bowen Byram, good years last year. They're both 21, both on the final year of those ELCs, but the team does have a lot of veterans on one-year deals, though. So if these two go ahead and take another step, it shouldn't be a problem in retaining either long-term. But what do you see as the roles maybe for Newhook and Byram this season?
Well, I think Byram was one of the least talked about great stories of the Stanley Cup playoffs, because in January, he was thinking about not coming back to play hockey. I mean, it got that bad. He stepped away from the game, went back home to BC to be with his family, and he was contemplating that, you know, he couldn't play hockey again, or shouldn't play hockey again. So for him to come back and play the way that he did, led all players in plus minus in the Stanley Cup playoffs, all players, and that was Bowen Byram. So you're now talking about Taves, McCarr, Byram as your top three defensemen, and that's about as good a top three defenseman as there are in the National Hockey League. That's a no-brainer for the Avs to retain as long as required. And Alex Newhook, he's been the top forward in the system for a couple years now, you know, being selected 16th overall, and just one behind. They're that close to Cole Caulfield, who I think everybody wanted, but Newhook has turned into one of those players that is, again, versatile. Mm-hmm. And versatility has sort of become the modus operandi for this Avalanche team, and it's been impressive to watch. So I think when it comes to both of those players, I think the plan is for both of them to be part of this team for a long time.
final question for you, Connor, and then we'll let you get to the course. Central's real interesting. You got the Coyotes and the Blackhawks, who should be awful. The Stars are a question mark in the midst of a changing of the guard, a new coach. Jason Robertson's unsigned. The Wild are working on a budget. The Predators got better. The Blues have a ton of continuity. The Jets seem to be in disarray. For me, it's Colorado's division to lose, maybe even the conference. Do you see it the same way?
Yeah, I sure do. And by the way, I'm still getting used to the Arizona Coyotes being in the Central Division. That might take a couple more years. But I think there's no doubt about it that there's always challenges because there's always surprises that we never see coming. But I think now, especially after all that the Avalanche have been through over the past 4 years, that they can handle anything. And even though now that they've won, they're not going to be too big for their britches, and they understand that every night in the NHL is a tough one. You should beat the teams that you should beat. You're going to have off nights, but I 100% agree. The Avs are the favorites for everything, for the Central, for the West, and I think for the Stanley Cup. And that is how they view themselves as well. But I think winning now relaxes them a little bit, and as the great Bill Murray said, the more relaxed you are, the better you are at everything. So we'll see how it goes.
How's the golf game? You fired up? Last round of the season or what?
Been playing a lot, which has been good. You know, bogey golf is always good.
Yep.
Bars in there, the occasional chip in birdie. So I'll take it. It's not an embarrassment. We'll put it that way.
That's all we can hope for, right? Especially in tournaments like
that.
Just don't embarrass myself. Just hit the tee shot on the first hole fine, and the rest will figure itself out.
Yeah, and I'm a lefty off the tee with a major fade, so I line up facing right. Everyone thinks I'm going to hit a house. I say, no, just hang on. It'll come back. I promise.
I've seen it before. She'll come back. Don't worry. Like a boomerang. Don't worry.
Back. Everyone relax. Go back to your life.
What are you guys, new? Come on.
First time?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Connor, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy it.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll chat more as the regular season gets going here. The Avalanche are always a talking point. They're just too damn good.
Yeah, we're very lucky, and it's not lost on me. And, no, always a pleasure coming on with you guys. It's a real treat. And, look forward to maybe seeing you second night of the season coming up October 13th.
Yeah. Now you're getting me excited.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy it today, man. Take care, hey?
All right, fellas. Thank you.
There you go. Connor McGahey, Avalanche play-by-play voice for Altitude TV and the radio. And just in general, a beauty.
Just a great dude.
In general, a beauty. I hope he plays really well today.
We talked to him at, it was Boomer's last day. We talked to him at the parade.
Uh-huh.
You might have been here. You were here.
Yeah?
Yeah. We talked to him at the end of the parade. Now we're talking to him starting the year. So their last event, their first event.
Wow. Look at you just putting everything together. You're pretty good at your job.
We like Connor McGee.
We might get you a little raise here. I'm going to put in a request to Art. Maybe I can peddle this fantasy victory that I had over him yesterday into something. Or maybe he's going to be really upset about it and I'm going to have to work extra shifts or something like that.
Yeah, you might have to.
Speaking of fantasy football, tell us a little bit about this next guest that you got.
Derek Brown, we've had him on once before earlier on in the summer. Works for Fantasy Pros. If you're familiar with Fantasy Pros, one of the best fantasy sites around.
Okay.
For fantasy football. And he's going to do some deep dive. It's waiver day for a lot of people in many leagues. So a lot of receivers out there. A lot of rookies. A lot of guys that are stepping up.
Because who did we lose to injury this week? Off the top of my head, it wasn't nearly as bad.
It wasn't
bad
a catastrophic week, really.
The big one's Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, that's going to be your big one if you got. But running back-wise, I mean, I know nothing stood out unless I'm missing something. I don't see any major injuries.
Just off the top of my head. You know who will probably know?
Derek Brown.
Yeah, he probably will. We'll take a break and we'll talk to Derek around the corner. Connor joined us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline 14-time Consumer Choice Award winner. Give him a call or go visit them. You can give him a call at 403-248-3344 or dine in Atlas Pizza, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Take a break. Derek Brown next. Shoot your fantasy questions into 960-960 and maybe we'll drop in a couple as a bit of a tease on what you want to talk about. And cavalry tickets to give away around the corner, too. Sports at 960 The Fan. Welcome back to the big show in the morning. I hope you're having just an awesome Tuesday. Just great. Right on. Yeah.
Almost done for us.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was rubbing it in.
I always love doing that. Sorry.
He's Patty Dumas. I'm Matty Rose. In the other room, it's Alex Brody. And we're taking it through this week. Going to be a fun week. Going to be a fun week. Dave Dickinson going to join us tomorrow morning. Got a couple other things in the hopper. Stamps back in the practice field later today. We got some tickets to give away, Patrick. Little Cavalry FC tickets to give away.
Big one on Saturday.
Humongous game on Saturday because, listen, you get the top two teams in the CPL. The Cavalry only have three games left in the regular season. They're all home games as well.
Yeah, thanks for the horsies taking up most of September and August.
Yes.
That Cavs gets to be at home for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, the
equestrian, the jumpers.
Equestrian horses. Yeah, yeah. We just mentioned the stamps, so I was very confused as to what you meant.
The other horses.
But, listen, here's what we're doing. Contest to give away some Cavalry tickets. And it's really not just the tickets. It's an entire prize pack. So what you're going to get, if you get our trivia question right on the text line, 960-960, the winner will receive two tickets to the match that is coming up on Saturday at 3:30 down at ATCO Field at Spruce Meadows. You get a parking pass, which is clutch. You get a $20 food voucher, a scarf, and access to the VIP mess hall, which is a good thing to have as the temperature starts to dip. Just saying. It's a little insider tip for you. So, here's the deal. We got a trivia question. Are you ready? And it relates to the Cavalry FC. As they take on Atletico Ottawa, Saturday, September 24th, 3:30. The question, as came up by Alex Brody, which Cavalry FC player has played the most total minutes this season? The most total minutes this season. 960-960.
It's a trick question.
It kind of is. Because there's immediately I was like, duh.
Yeah.
I know who this is. That guy. The guy with all the sheets that are clean. But is it? Did I just spoil it? Maybe. Let's chat with our next guest. Derek Brown joins us from Fantasy Pros as we're getting ready to talk a little bit of fantasy. Tuesday is...
I'm excited because my team's actually this year have been through 2 weeks, actually been pretty good. And like I thought it was going to suck. I have one league, which is a deep, deep dynasty league where I'm in a big rebuild and I'm not good there. But then the other leagues, I'm like, yeah, we're competitive.
We're competitive.
We actually might win some money this year.
I'm going to maybe look at the waiver wire at week three. Yeah. Oh, boy. We're going to try and make some improvements
here. Spend some waiver
budget
here.
And we're now joined by Derek Brown down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline from Fantasy Pros. Derek, good morning. Thanks for taking some time today, man.
Guys, what's going on? I'm waiting for the caffeine to kick in and trying to get these waivers set, man.
Yeah. Hey, we're fully loaded on the caffeine here, and I'm less set on my waivers, but that's why we gave you a call. So, listen, the waiver wire closes tonight. What are you looking at for your top ads right now? We were kind of discussing it before we hit the break as far as, you know, injuries is usually a big thing, and Trey Lance in San Francisco is the big one. Are you kind of looking at anybody else who might be thrown into a bigger role or maybe just like a top target on the waiver wire?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys that we discussed on the Waiver Wire podcast for Fantasy Pros this week. All of these are coming in, at least consensus, they're less than 50% rostered in most leagues. But, I mean, we have to talk about the man of the hour, right? Like Garrett Wilson, what he did this last week, 30% target share, blew up for two touchdowns. I said this previously on the podcast. I was like, look, like I don't want to feel like I'm being knee-jerky here, but at the same time, could Garrett Wilson be the player that we hoped Elijah Moore would be this year? And got the draft pedigree. He's got the production after 2 weeks. So I'm willing to sit here and pick him up and bid aggressively. I mean, there's a bunch of wide receivers that are just going down the list this week. Jacoby Myers is a must pick up in every league. I have no clue why he is less than 50% rostered, but it happens. The Patriots stink is real, guys. But, like, we talk about volume and fantasy and volume as king. There's a wide receiver in Jacoby Myers that is sitting on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues, just averaging a cool 9.5 targets a game, 29% target share, no biggie. you know, just we'll just leave that volume hanging out there. Let somebody else enjoy it. And if you're going to the running back position, I mean, Brian Robinson's still sitting out there in half a leagues. I think it's absolutely wrong. Seeing workout videos hit the timeline, looks like he's going to be back in week five. And for a player that, look, we've seen Antonio Gibson play well over the last 2 years. It didn't stop the Commanders coaching staff from being like, well, yeah, Brian Robinson, he's good at football. Plus, he doesn't fumble. And we like him to be a starting running back. So, top three, four guys that I'm looking to pick up right now.
Now, you mentioned there with Garrett Wilson, he's obviously having a great start to his season. Another rookie that's having a great start, and he's his quarterback's leading passer in the NFC. That's such a Jahan Dotson, Washington. If it came down to it, who do you like in the long term, Dotson or Wilson? Obviously, Wilson will have Zach Wilson back in a couple weeks that might give him even a bigger boost.
I would go with Garrett Wilson on this, and this is because I think there's less target competition.
Okay, yeah, McLaren. Jets.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at Elijah Moore there. We kind of worry about, like, who's he really fighting for targets versus Washington? We have McLaurin there.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel is playing well. Logan Thomas is coming back. And I think there's more competition there. I could see Wilson earning more of the pie.
Wanted to ask as well, I'm just looking at some players that were drafted high, a Derrick Henry owner myself. I'm looking at people who might have Jonathan Taylor. Are you hitting the panic button on either of those two highly touted running backs just yet?
I can't. And I'll add a third to the list. I mean, I'm not panicking on Dalvin Cook. I think that how many running backs, guys, can we say, at least like on one hand, that are going to play 60, 70, 75% of the snaps? And we're looking at Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook, and Derrick Henry are doing that. Now, Derrick Henry might not be the Goliath of old, but he's still going to get 20 touches a game. And in fantasy, that's still putting you in the top 15 running backs if you fall into the end zone on most weeks.
Also wanted to ask, because we had a text in, Darnell Mooney, how are you feeling on that on this receiver?
It's scary times in Chicago. And for the number one wide receiver there, they're just not throwing the ball enough. And they're not running enough plays for him to have the type of value we saw last year. He's really just, until we see volume actually hit this offense and be like, hey, yeah, we're going to run some plays. He's nothing more than a wide receiver four and a dart throw right now, and that's sad to say.
Got another text coming in as well. Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins on one roster. What should this individual try and do here? My goodness. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Oh, my goodness. Pick up one of the San Francisco running backs. I mean, with Tyrion Davis Price now out for a few months or a few weeks, and Elijah Mitchell is going to be out for almost 2 months. I mean, this backfield is dropping like flies, and that means we have more narrow target tree, or not target tree, a more narrow rushing total tree to sit here and look at. I mean, it's really just Jeff Wilson and Jordan Mason. So it sounds like they're hurting for running backs. Go pick up Jordan Mason.
Wanted to also ask, as Derek Brown joins us here from Fantasy Pros, who might be one of the kind of top trade targets that you're looking to try and bring onto your teams right now? Guys that are certainly rostered, but you might be able to pry off a roster for the right package.
I think any one of the running backs that we already previously talked about, so Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook, I think they're good targets to try to go get. If you're looking at wide receivers, I mean, some guys that have had, say, the volume, but the offense has not been clicking. Top guy, I mean, I think Cortland Sutton has had some decent games. You could probably still go out and get him. But Marquise Brown is one of the top names that just kind of pops in my head, as in he's getting targets. Arizona has looked putrid, no doubt, up till this point. But if we believe that this offense could rebound, Kyler Murray can get going, then Marquise Brown is going to be a big part of why.
Talk to me about the Detroit Lions. That offense looked real fun last 2 weeks here. Now, you obviously got Amon-Ra St. Brown killing it. DeAndre Swift is a decent running back as well. But what about Jared Goff? Is he a decent streaming option or a stash option for a team, especially if you're in a 2QB league?
Oh, absolutely. Goff is somebody I was higher on consensus than walking into the season. It's because we saw all the parts and pieces and the skill players were great for Goff. Amon-Ra is looking like he is legit. Like, all that stretch run stuff was not a fluke. I'm probably going to be ranking him as a wide receiver one for the rest of the season, weekly. So I love golf. And the other thing about it is golf's picture looks pretty good right now. What if we get news next week that Jameson Williams is like 2 weeks from a turn, and then they get a legitimate like lid lifting threat in Jameson Williams, who's a total baller? That could just put him over the top. And I mean, he could be dark horse top 12 QB candidate for the rest of the year.
Okay. Now, some other receiving options that have been possible popping up here. They had decent weekends. You had Sterling Shepard. You're getting a lot of targets there in with New York. Nico Williams, Noah Brown in Dallas. What of those three, or if any other guys are like, you know, yeah, you're not, you're maybe at a desperate at a wide receiver, but these guys could be possibly good flex options for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at, and the first guy I want to bring up here is Greg Dortch. I don't know what else people need to see out of him. He's got a 50% target share. It was like five grabs and almost 60 receiving yards in the last two games. And the next 3 weeks, he gets the best corner matchups on the board for the Cardinals. He gets the Rams, the Panthers, and then Philly, and you attack each one of these teams through the slot. So he's the first player I got to bring up. But Noah Brown, almost a 20% target share. He's putting up the stats, even though the name is not sexy, but the production is. So I definitely can endorse him. And yeah, I like Sterling Shepard as well. I look at Shepard as being kind of like the dollar store version of Jacoby Myers right now. He got almost a 30% target share last week. And it was ugly, six grabs and 34 yards. But still, if he falls into the end zone in a PPR league, you're still looking at 15, 16 points, even though that is a terrible-looking stat line.
Got a couple more here for you as we're chatting with Derek Brown from Fantasy Pros. Just a few more before we let you go here on your Tuesday. Only a couple weeks in, but which teams are you looking at as the free space on the bingo card? And by that, I mean in past years, if you needed to fill a flex, you could basically grab the third-string receiver of whichever team was playing against the New York Jets and feel pretty good about yourself. Which teams do you have your players playing against in early season and just kind of licking your chops at those matchups?
I think there's a few different secondaries that are kind of standing forward. Like, basically, if you've got a wide receiver and he's got a heartbeat and he's playing the Cardinals right now, start him up, because they're running out. Their cornerback unit is horrible. The same can be said for wide receivers going against Detroit and the Raiders right now. So really, a lot of these teams, their slot corners are bad. So a lot of the waiver wires, you'll see like these teams starting the slot with receivers like a Greg Dortch, like Shepard, like other players like that are still sitting on the waiver wire. And in PPR leagues, they're free money. So that's the first, I mean, as far as wide receiver matchups, running backs, although they stopped Dalvin Cook last night, Philly has not been a great run defense, and this is even going back to last year. So I'm willing to fire up running backs versus them and the Cardinals. Cardinals can't stop anything at all. That doesn't matter whether it's land or sea or air or anything. Nothing at all. So, I mean, really, have a heartbeat, fire them up against the Cardinals.
Just out of curiosity, what's been your favorite game to watch this season so far?
And this is not recency bias, but I need to, I guess, invest in some Eagles gear. I don't know. Like, I've never been an Eagles fan, but apparently I am this year. The Vikings game last night was fantastic. I'm just glued to the television set. I absolutely love watching Jalen Hurts play football, and I want to see the young man succeed this year. I talked about in preseason, dark horse MVP candidate. I really, really want to watch the Eagles just crush this year.
And my last one here for you, Derek, we have a text in that is from someone who I imagine is an avid listener of your podcast. It says, D-Bro, yes. Nice touch this morning, boys. Love it. Nice. This guy is legit. And then in all caps, fade volume, get burned.
Oh, you got to love it. You got to love listeners, especially because we're just trying – I mean, your radio program, us at Fantasy Pros, we're all trying to just help people win games. So you love to hear it.
Fade volume, get burned. Is that like, is that in the Twitter bio? You have that tattooed across your back? What's the deal there?
Maybe I need to add it. I got a lot of sayings and things that just randomly pop out of my head on an occasional basis. That has been one of them at times, but apparently that might need to go in the bio now.
And he actually does have a fantasy question, and because he gave us some content, I'm going to throw it at you. Do we trust Wentz or Cousins after Lance goes down for the rest of the season? Thoughts on that?
Oof. I think, honestly, the answer is to pick up both, because I'm guessing this is one of those questions where they say, okay, both of these players are sitting on my waiver wire. Which one do I get? And my answer is to get both and play matchups. We've seen enough times that Kirk Cousins in prime time goes Captain Poop Pants, so don't start him in a prime time game. Lean with Carson Wentz on those weeks. But I think that really legitimately both of these quarterbacks have fantastic weapons around them. They're going to have and put up really, really good weeks. If picking one of them in a vacuum this week, I do lean with Kirk Cousins. Detroit's been terrible versus the pass.
Thanks, D-Bro. I really appreciate the time today, man.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, man.
Again, waiting for the caffeine to kick in, and the waiver wire bids are going in right now.
Pitter-patter. Have a great day, brother.
You too, guys. Thanks.
There you go. Derek Brown from Fantasy Pros. Wrapping it up, joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. 14-time Consumer Choice Award winners. Go see them, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Awesome. Great stuff. Got some questions in there. Got a few text questions in there. Getting a little bit of news coming down. How about this? The Buccaneers are signing veteran receiver Cole Beasley to the practice squad, with the expectation he'll be elevated to the active roster soon. Tom Brady pushed to bring in another veteran pass catcher, and Beasley's been on his radar for a while.
Beasley's got a really good catch rate. I think it's in the 70s for sure. He doesn't drop the ball, and he saw, like, I mean, he tried to find Scotty Miller like three times on like similar style plays on Sunday, and Miller's just dropping it. And obviously with Mike Evans being likely suspended for Sunday, and Chris Godwin hurt, and Julio hurt, they don't have anyone to catch the ball in Tampa
Julio's
Bay.
Oh, Julio's hurt. What a Julio, sudden surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah, it's not a good receiving group. And, you know, that's true. You got Green Bay who's battling with receivers, mm-hmm. and Tampa Bay who doesn't really have a lot of receivers. That's going to be an interesting game on Sunday between two angry old men, it seems, right now, in Brady and Rodgers.
Yeah, they are kind of angry.
Yeah.
Although one has at least, like, the ayahuasca to kind of chill them out.
You know, the tea celebration, I saw it. Like, Alan Lazard was pouring the tea around, and then Rodgers did the little, I'm good. Like,
psilocybin tea?
Yeah. It was a little tea going around for everybody.
Yum, yum.
Oh, yeah.
Nice and healthy. Make your brain strong.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's true. Anyways, Calvary FC tickets to give away. This package. Two tickets, parking pass, a scarf, $20 for some grub, and tickets to the VIP mess hall, which will keep you warm if it's a little chilly. And try the pies?
Yeah, the meat pies are great.
Okay, there you go. Insider tip. Try the pies. You can use that $20 food voucher. I think it should be decent weather on Saturday.
Looking good. Looking all right.
I had some buddies talk to me about golf, so I assume that it's looking like a pretty decent day on Saturday. But we got these tickets to give away. We had a question for you. Came up by... Our technical producer, Alex Brody, come up with this one. Which Cavalry FC player has played the most total minutes this season? And listen, we got a good few answers. Someone wrote in the player that has played the most minutes, which is, we always love that. A couple votes for Tommy Wheeldon. He doesn't play. He's the manager and the head coach, but also, good try. A lot of Marco Carducci, the goaltender, who leading the CPL in clean sheets. And that makes sense. You would think it is the goaltender, but it is not. It's Jose Escalante. The man.
Vamos Escalante.
Is that the song?
Yeah, we sing Vamos Escalante.
Is that just it? Does it have more lyrics than that?
It's like Vamos Escalante, Vamos Escalante, ole, 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 ole. Yeah.
Escalante's played 1,903 minutes. It's 13 more minutes than Marco Carducci.
Carducci did not start the year as the starting keeper, as he was dealing with his cancer that he's fought and battled and put into the ground.
And Carifa Yao, just 5 minutes back of Marco as well. So those were the three top contenders. But it is, in fact, Jose Escalante. So we have picked a number. We've picked a winner. It's Greg. Congrats, Greg. Good job. Congratulations. You're going down to Atco Field, Spruce Meadows on Saturday.
He needs this day out.
Round of applause for Greg.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on tightening that up. A round of applause for Greg. That was better. We'll keep working on it. Listen, what we got to do now is what you want to talk about. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Fire in your thoughts, your texts, whatever, to 960-960, and we'll read them. Look at this one.
That's terrifying.
There are 2.5 million ants for every human on Earth.
So there's 7 billion humans.
Mm-hmm. What's 7 billion times 2.5 million? How many zeros is that? I feel like it's a lot. That's a lot of ants. That's a lot of ants, man.
It's a lot, yeah. It's giving me the E.
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting exponents.
Yeah, there's 16 zeros after 1.75.
Okay. Oh, that's a lot of ants. I was filming a wedding recently.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
It was good, but I stepped in an anthill.
Oh.
And they were all in my shoes.
They were pretty peeved at you, I bet.
Oh, I was. Yeah, they were probably mad, but I mean,
that's a lot of work they put into that.
I was more mad. Well, most of their work is underneath the ground, so.
I know, but their entrance is frigged.
Yeah.
And then they can't get
they
in.
Gotta, it's not like you have
they
one
collapse,
door.
And you're like, ugh.
No, they need. I'm sure that they've got safety workers who make sure
they
that they've got fire exits. You need, you know, alternate ground for floods.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
They need a plan better.
You're not giving these ants enough
credit.
They
need evacuation routes.
Yeah, muster points.
Yeah. We'll meet over by the McDonald's cup.
Hey, over the... the cup. Nice.
Don't get in the cup if it's still full because you will drown.
You will drown.
You will drown.
It looks sweet. Don't go in it, though.
I've saw, like, because the wasps right now, they're kind of at their dying point, so they're all over the place. They'll hang around you.
Thank the Lord.
Had a can of Coke. Bastard food right in the dang hole. Right in. He was a kamikaze mission.
Right in.
Right in.
Really?
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
Just put the can down. That's his can now. There's still Coke in it.
Oh. Unbelievable. No respect with wasps.
Dang wasps.
The ants have been suffering from labor shortages this year due to COVID.
That's fair. That's fair.
If you put a bit of dirt from one anthill and put it on another one close by, it will start an ant war between the two hills.
Wow.
Is that kind of like Worms? You ever play the game
Worms? Yeah, I remember Worms, yeah. Worms Armageddon. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had all the different weapons.
Well, have you seen that like they have the worker ants and they like block like security and they let the the builders walk through a home and they like garden off. Like, those things are smart.
Was Zdeno Chara's official retirement from the NHL? Congrats to Big Z. There are no active players who have faced the Leafs in the second round of the playoffs. Wow.
That's true. Wow. That's funny.
Wow. All the best to Char and Subban, two greats from my youth. You forgot Keith Yandel. You gotta put Yans in there.
Iron Man.
It maybe wasn't the same, but like
he wasn't the same. Didn't move the needle.
He's up in the, but he moved the needle with the youths later in his career. Kept sonking people.
Yeah,
like the sonk daddy himself.
Like he wasn't like patrolling the all-star blue lines. He wasn't winning Norris's. He wasn't a 60-point guy consistently. You know, but he was a solid guy who played a lot of hockey for a long time in a tough sport.
Yeah.
Try him. You look at the guys like, how many guys can play 82 in a season? Not very many. And he played what?
999?
In a row.
Not bad. We were talking about Sam Rockwell earlier on today. Mm-hmm. We were chatting with Adnan Virk. He does his old movie reviews on Cinephile. New episode should be coming out soon, and they're doing a Sam Rockwell film. I can't remember which one it is. Catch Me If You Can. Was that? No, that wasn't Rockwell. Something like that.
That was Leo and Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but it has a similar title. We had some recommendations for Sam Rockwell. Seven Psychopaths, which I may have seen, but I don't know. Way, Way Home. Haven't seen. The movie 43.
Yeah, movie 43 I've seen.
Funny and Weird. Is it Funny and Weird?
Yeah, it's a bunch of celebrities not playing, like not playing themselves, playing characters and actors and whatnot, doing like random stuff. Yeah,
is it?
It's funny.
Relatively new. Is this
2013?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, Kinda. That would make sense.
Oh my goodness. Comedy Exposed. There's a lot of actors in this.
Mm-hmm.
Sudeikis, Jackman, Knoxville, Butler, Richard Gere, Odenkirk. My goodness. What is this? 14 different storylines, each done by a different director. Movie 43. Okay, that looks interesting. I'm going to put that on the list right on. Those were the Rockwell recommendations. Did Rockwell sing Someone's Watching Me? Where's the Brent Cron retirement love? Did Cron retire?
I mean,
I think he got retired from the station after he dropped that little bomb on the radio back on Friday. If you don't know what I'm talking about, sorry. If you do,
it'll never be heard again.
Ha ha. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Moon was a great Rockwell film.
Vice, he plays George Bush in that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. But that's the one where he had to like really change his body. Didn't he have to wear like a...
Oh, yeah, like he looks...
Big fat
looks
suit
like
or something?
Looks like W. No, you're thinking of Bale playing...
Yeah,
thinking
of Bale.
Dick Cheney.
Yes.
His vice president.
Maybe I'll go watch a Sam Rockwell film today. Oh, and Cassian just came out on Disney, or Andor, so I probably won't.
Mm.
So many things to watch, Patrick, but really appreciate the recommendations from the text line. That's what you want to talk about. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The hunting season gun safe sale is on now. Save up to $600 on Braun EV Series gun safes. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Coming up on the station today, Blair and Barker at 9 o'clock. Little CBS for you. From 11 to 1, then it's Jays Plus with Blake Murphy. Sportsnet today with Logan Gordon goes from 2 to 3, and then Logan will join Steinberg for Flames Talk. They'll go until 4:45. It'll be the Blue Jays and the Philadelphia Phillies taking over at 4:45. Ross Stripling on the bump for the Jays. Kyle Gibson going to go for the Phillies. Both these teams in a wild card race right now. So this is a big two-game mini set. And then we'll hand it off to CBS. Thanks to Jordan Hall, Ed Enfert, Connor McGahey, and Derek Brown for joining us. And a big congrats to Greg on his pair of Cavalry FC tickets. We got more to give away tomorrow. It'll be right around this same time as well. So make sure you're checking in. We'll be doing that all week long as the Cavalry gets set for a massive game Saturday against Atletico Ottawa. Enjoy your day, friends. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.